Timothy. It's an interesting thing when we consider the fact that we've been blessed just by being in proximity to truth. There are some people who live in such darkness. Some of these countries are so dark that there's just nothing around them. I heard some stories recently about some things that are happening. And in fact, Russell Stendahl Jr. was with us, a couple weeks ago? And he was saying that he was in India with somebody with Voice of the Martyrs. And he was talking about how the gospel is spread there. And so many people, mostly Hindus, I believe he said, but there's all kind of variations and varieties, like it's like Christians, all kind of varieties and everything. But anyway, he said a lot of these guys have no Bibles, they've never heard, but they believe in 1,000 gods. And so they worship this god for this problem, and this god for this problem, and this god for this problem, and this one here, he worked, and so build another temple, build another idol, we got another god here. And it just gets better and better the more you get. But he was telling the story of a man who was extremely sick, and I forget what the issue was, but extremely sick. And somebody came through that was a believer, and they said, well, have you prayed to Jesus yet? No, he hadn't. And without even knowing anything about anything, he heard, pray to Jesus. Prayed to Jesus, and he was healed. And this guy starts walking through India preaching Jesus. He's believe in Jesus. Believe. The apostle said that, you know. We don't preach ourselves, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It's a powerful, powerful thing, this testimony, this calling that I think our culture, we've missed because we've complicated it, Ralph. We've really complicated this gospel. So this man never read the Bible, but he encountered something that came to him, and it changed his life. And they were able to give him a Bible and instruct him more about who this man Jesus was. He was the Son of God, and he's the only way to God. And these other gods get all pushed aside when you find the truth. It's amazing what truth does. It satisfies the empty soul. Empty souls always looking for something, always looking for more facts, always looking for more stability in facts. But when the hungry soul finds, comes to, regardless of how you encounter it, it satisfies that hungry soul. Paul said this to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. He says, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something. That you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, King James says fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You see, the expression of whatever your gift or calling or place is, that didn't come to you by you manufacturing it or you deciding, I'm going to be this. And we go out and try to do it. But it comes because God puts in everybody the gift, the calling that he needs for that person to have the greatest expression of his own life. Eric, I have a question for you. When you build a building, do you use all the lumber you can, or do you just use what's essential to make it a good building? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't put a... I'm not a carpenter. I'm a terrible carpenter. But even me, I know that I don't put a piece of wood everywhere a piece of wood can fit. But, you know, sometimes in the church, we get this feeling like, well, there's a gift, and so we just pack everything in, and that more is better. And it's not. Even in our talking, more words don't make it better. Any more than 10,000 2x4s packed in every little crack because there's space for one makes the building better. It actually makes it worse, wouldn't it? I mean, that's kind of what I think, being a non-carpenter. But God, when he gives gifts to men, he gives exactly what's needed, never in excess. He gives enough for today. So when God carries you, when he says, you got a problem, let me carry you today, when he says, let me carry your load, he doesn't overload the carry. If he knows there's a load to carry that a pickup truck carries, a pickup truck comes and carries it for you. But if you got a load that calls for a Mack truck, he brings a Mack truck, because that's what's needed. There's never, never, never wasted energy in the kingdom of God. And in the church, there's never, never, never wasted energy. Paul said to Timothy, look, he said, I want to remind you of something. I want you to stir up. That word stir up just means kind of reignite, because the flame has gotten low. Reignite the gift that is in you. Now, Paul didn't give him the gift. It's not what he's saying. It just came through Paul's hands. And in the truest sense of the word, many people that get prayed for, there's a laying on of hands. That gift comes as a laying on of hands, or that healing come when someone had their hands laid on somebody else. It didn't come from that person's hand. It came from the life of Jesus. The very life of God that comes through, because Jesus was the perfect expression of the life of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My goodness, makes me want to see him. It's not complex. In our last Bible study, I asked a question. So, is it hard to get to know God? I asked Margaret. She was talking. So I said, is it complicated? Is it hard for you to get to know God? You know what she said? No, it's very simple. And I like that answer, because it is not complex. It's as simple as seeing. It's as simple as having stirred up in us the reality of the life of God. And it doesn't take me doing all this crazy excess of stuff to try to prove it. It's just what's required for the moment. That's all that's needed. I might be able to build a, well, I can't, but if I could, build a 40-story skyscraper. But if somebody only needs a shed to put their rake in, I'm not going to give them a 40-story skyscraper. And that's how God is. He gives us what we need, and it fits perfect in every situation. He doesn't overload us with excess, even though he's got all things. He knows exactly what we need. So it is actually very easy to get to know God. I've thought a lot about that, because I was surprised at how quick she said that a couple weeks ago. I was surprised how quick she said, no, it's real easy. It's easier to get to know God. He is not complex, even though he fills everything. He created the world with his word, the power of his word. He upholds all things by the power of his word. That's big. He can do anything. He can do all things. But yet he's so big that he knows the number of your hair, and he knows when a sparrow falls. So just because he's so big doesn't mean he misses the little tiny things and the importance of the small, the insignificant. That's why God doesn't, like Ralph was saying, God doesn't look for the mighty. He's not looking for the noble. He doesn't look for those that can say 10,000 words when two words will do it. He's just looking for somebody who will let his life shine through. That's all. He said, I want you to stir up. I want you to reignite, he was telling Timothy. Reignite what's in you. Because just by matter of life, the flame kind of goes down. We get occupied, preoccupied, overoccupied. And the flame kind of gets smaller and smaller. And we forget to keep that flame rekindled by a personal relationship with this man. Then he goes on. Interestingly enough, for God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. With your salvation comes a calling. With your salvation comes a purpose. He didn't save you for you, even though he saved you because he loved you. He died because he loved you. It's not the fullness of his salvation toward you. He saved you that he might give you a purpose beyond yourself. Big, complete, and full. But with with that full salvation and full purpose that's eternal comes the ability to put one board up and stop when that's the end of your structure, rather than think we have to put 40,000 boards in one place when one will do. With that comes the wisdom. Saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He didn't say, oh, he can do this well, therefore I'll have him do this. This man's got away with words, so I'll call him to be a preacher. This man's got away with fill in the blank, so I'll call him because he can do that really well. No. He might do that. He can do whatever he wants. But that's not why he calls people. He calls you not according to our works and what we can do so well, but according to his own purpose. His own purpose. His own purpose. Did you get that? It's his own purpose. He didn't consult with you. He didn't consult with anybody else. When he saved you, he called you and gave you a purpose. But it's because he decided. That's all it takes. His own purpose and grace. That's his provision toward you to not be able to do it. You think God's giving you a job that's too big? Never. Never, never, never has God ever given anybody a job that's too big. Look like Moses had. I wouldn't want to be Moses. I wouldn't want to stand in front of that burning bush and hear him say, go back to Egypt. I would not want that kind of a job. I wouldn't want to have to be standing with Moses on the riverbank and God say, go back into the wilderness. 40 more years. We're not going in now. But I want you to take them and lead them. Knowing you're leading a people somewhere where you're not going to go and they're not going to go. That'd be pretty tough. That'd be frustrating. That'd be unfulfilling. Because Moses knew they weren't going in. But he was going to lead them anyway. So here's Moses fulfilling his calling. Knowing that the whole purpose of what he was doing, these people weren't going to participate in anyway. But somehow, he found grace. Noah is another one. Building an ark. God called him. Why did he call him? Well, he found grace. So he doesn't call us according to our own works, but he calls us according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? When you got saved? Before you were even born. You got a purpose in God, and he decided it before he's even born. It's true. Every one of us here have a purpose in God, and it was decided before we were ever born, before we did good or evil. It was decided. I was at my 50th anniversary graduation class reunion. Seen people hadn't seen in 50 years. Man, the people got old. They did. But I watched those people, and I knew them well as a youth in my before Christ days. And a lot of them, we did bad stuff. Some of them got saved. Amazing. Some didn't. And it's amazing the difference. And it wasn't because some of us were better. Some of the worst of the class met the Lord. And I'm amazed at that. It's amazing. So God decided these things before you were even born. Oh, I'm going to have him and I'm going to give him this job. Before he's even born. So I think that means he can finish it. Because what God starts, he always finishes. And if he started it before I even was, oh my goodness, what can he do in the end result? When I just say, well, like Mary did, be it unto me according to your word. I like something that John Cheever said. He said that if we think we're going to fulfill the word of God based on knowing every word, then what you have is performance and legalism, because you're obeying it for the word's sake. But he said, like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. You spoke the word. Now just let it be unto me. Just let it happen like you said. And so we yield to the Spirit, and now our obedience and our fulfillment, our obligation to God's touch in our life, comes not as a result of knowing all the Word. It comes from knowing the Spirit and having a relationship with Him. And it's amazing the difference. It's amazing at the end of the day how different you feel. You no longer have to analyze what you did, what you didn't do. But the Spirit can correct us when we get it wrong. He does, and we all probably all know that. The times when God just touches us and corrects us. But this life that God has called us, this calling, this gift, our calling, we're told to make them sure, but we can't produce them. We can't make them successful. We yield just because God has given us, it was His decision, and it was by His grace, which was given before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul said, and I'm delighted to get to be a preacher of this gospel. And I tell you, I'm delighted to get to be a preacher of this gospel. And I'm not talking about behind the pulpit. I'm talking about walking through people's RVs and, well, I'll write you a check. You want to come in for coffee? Sometimes I had it happen again this week. Oh, I got to keep going. No, I'll have coffee with you and sit and talk and connect. That's the gospel being preached. That's the gospel. God's not looking for the mighty, although He'll save those too. But our biggest problem, my biggest problem, is that I gravitate toward the good. It's just a whole lot more comfortable. And it's a lot more predictable too, by the way. You can't predict what a drunk's going to say to you. You really can't. But that's what makes it so exciting. You never know. You know He belongs to God. He don't belong to you. He's not yours. But to let the light of this glorious gospel, Paul said, whereof I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. These are the people that don't know God. It's easy to preach to people that know God because they're forgiving. They don't challenge you. We don't question. We just, it's happy. It's good to know everybody and good to hear what God's doing in this life. But start talking to the Gentile. Start talking to him and see what kind of response you get. There's the challenge. That's where the gospel is proven the quickest way that I know. You have truth, well then let God prove it. So, for the which cause I also, experience pain. The word suffer here. It's for this cause also I experience pain. He's delighted and excited about his calling and the gift that he has, or that he gave to Timothy. And Paul tells Timothy some more about how this thing finds its expression. But he said, this is also the reason that I experience pain. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed. He said, I know him. I know him. Therefore, the pain that I go through doesn't matter because I know him. And that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in, plural, us. It's amazing how God will take people that seem insignificant and use them in a mighty way. And it's amazing how God can take people that have such significance and kind of bypass them. Sometime for a time, sometime not. So your life and mine, our assurance of God being able to take our life and the calling, the gifting he's given us, what a privilege when God uses us as an expression of that gift or as an expression of that calling. It was your calling and your gifting was meant for more than right here. And I'm talking to you in this room and me in this room, us in this room. Our gift, our calling is something way bigger than this. In fact, it's even bigger than redemption of the trees and the mountains and the bushes outside. It's meant for something way bigger than that. It's meant for a perfect expression of the life of this man, Jesus Christ, because he's the expression of God in the world. Your life can be a window to the very face of God to people that are blind. God opens people's eyes, but when he does, there has to be something there for them to see. I think it's sometimes a blessing that God closes people's eyes when we're dealing with them, because sometimes we don't do so good. And so God just doesn't let them see. But when the light that's in us is shining like it should, and the life of Jesus Christ can be expressed in its clean, clean form like it can through the power of the Holy Ghost which is in us, God opens up people's eyes and they say, I'm seeing something here. What makes you different? Not weird, but different. They can't explain it, but they see something. You can explain, well, I'm more than what I appear to be, because I believe in the one who is a perfect manifestation of God, and he changed my life and he changed yours. So we have this experience of pain all along our journey, sometimes greater than others, but it's for a purpose. Sometime Paul said it was to keep me from getting too puffed up and too proud. Other times, it was because you wanted to show something. You read the testimony of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. They suffered a lot, those guys. I like to read the ones that win, that won. But there's a lot of heroes of faith there that suffered immensely. But they're heroes of faith because they didn't quit. They didn't quit when on this temporary level they didn't get what they were looking for. They didn't quit when on this temporary level what they were going for didn't show up, because they could see something beyond and they kept going. So, if I could encourage you this morning, stir up the gift. That just kind of means to reignite it, get a little rekindle there. And it comes from the place of the fire, where our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. He's the only true fire that actually does things right. So keep touching God. Keep finding him. Keep having the life that's in you rekindled, so that the life that's in God can be shown through you when God opens people's eyes. That's the preaching of the gospel. It's powerful. It'll never be stopped. You can't stop it, by the way. No matter how unkept your life is, no matter how undisciplined your life is, you will never stop the expression of the gospel. Because that's God's job. And if you don't, somebody else will. There's always going to be an expression of God in the earth. And if I don't, God will use somebody else. That's why I don't get too heady about my place. Because if I don't, somebody else will. So we don't want to get arrogant about this calling, about our gift. Because we can take it and waste it and lose it and not express the life of God. God will find somebody else. See, I am not immortal. I'm not indestructible. I'm not indispensable. We were talking at a reunion about some of our teachers. We had one that would say, you think you're so important? He told a couple of students. Put your finger in a glass of water. All it takes is an ounce of water to replace you. Kind of took away our significance. Put your finger in a glass of water. You don't leave a hole. It just goes back in. So our presence in the classroom, yeah, we think we're really big in the classroom. Yeah, well, leave. We won't even miss you. Not so significant. Now, I know nowadays that would never work because everybody is special. So special that nothing is special. But that's kind of how it is in God. You're so special that God sent his son to die for you. You meant enough to him. He had a purpose for you before the worlds were even formed. That's how special you are. But you can reject it, and God will find somebody else. You see, we're not indispensable. We still stand by grace. we still stand because of God moving on our behalf. Not because we're mighty and noble. Not because we've reached a certain status, but we stand today because of His grace. I offer myself to God daily, and I do it by His grace. Not because I can predict tomorrow, but I do it by His grace. I can be a minister of the gospel when I'm walking through Fort St. John, whether I'm going into Tim Horton or whether I'm going into Home Hardware. And I am by His grace. That's what I am. I stand by His grace, and I fall without it. Nothing of our own goodness, nothing because of our we're so noble, nothing because of our years that have counted. And I think most of us, the older ones anyway, 50 years, you were saying. Yeah. Doesn't take long for the years to add up. We stand by grace and let the gift that's in you be reignited and rekindled. Don't let the fire go out. God's got a job for you. He'll use you if your fire is burning.